Hello, our wonderful listeners. Talking Marketing is back with a wonderful episode for you all. Today, we are talking about purpose, product, and promotion inside a founder-led brand with Andrea and Miriam, co-founders of Listen to Your Mothers. Welcome to the show, Andrea, Miriam. How are you guys doing?
Good. Thank you for having us.
I'm excited to have you both on our show. Also, before we dive in, a quick thank you to our sponsors, Brick Marketing, a trusted Boston digital marketing agency with 20 plus years of experience, helping businesses drive strategy and implementation that solves complex challenges. Brick Marketing achieves business, sales, and marketing goals by offering the following solutions: SEO, GEO, content marketing, social media, PPC, email marketing, website development, and AI marketing. You can learn more at brickmarketing.com, and we are grateful for their support in making this conversation possible. So let's dive in. Before we get started, could either of you talk to us more about Listen to Your Mothers?
Yeah, Miriam, want to go ahead?
Okay, sure. So Listen to Your Mothers. We are a consulting group, a group of four women, all moms, who our main focus is to help employers turn workplace policies and culture into a competitive advantage. So we help them reduce risk, optimize resources, and attract talent. And we do this from a lens of really amplifying what are the needs of moms within a workplace. And how can we translate those into what employers need and want to be able to thrive as well? Because we know and we've seen that when things work well for moms, it works well for business too.
I remember when I first read about your organization, your brand, my first thought was, wow, this is such a fresh and a much needed approach because, as you said, when mothers thrive, businesses, organizations thrive too. It's very important to keep them in the loop instead of bringing them out the loop. When you were first building Listen to Your Mothers, what insight about your audience shape the brand, and how did that early understanding influence your marketing decisions?
Yeah. I mean, I think before we even get there, it's important to just kind of understand our founding story because it's very much built into our brand. As I said before, we're four moms and we were kind of intentionally pulled our group together based on our unique experiences as moms and as professionals. So for me personally, I was working in a leadership role within a large school system. And when I had my second kid, I came back to work and after my second kid, and then just quickly realized like it was a really unsustainable way of living. I think my job before had been really hard and unsustainable, but I hadn't been making it work because I was pretty ambitious professionally and I really cared about the role. And then when I came back, it was just like as much as I cared about the role, it wasn't working for me. And I struggled a lot with the decision. And I felt like looking around, like, what am I doing wrong? I'm looking at all these other moms, and I guess they must have figured it out. And I couldn't figure it out how to make it work. And then eventually I gave my notice that I decided to leave. And the second I did, a few things happened. One, so many moms came out of the woodwork saying either, wait a second, you are the person I was looking to as the model. I thought you had figured it out, and then that meant I could, but you're leaving now. Or moms with kids, you know, who are older, like 30 plus, who are like, oh yeah, when my kids were younger, I couldn't make it. I didn't do it either. Like I had to step away or go part-time or whatever. And so it was just like, wait, why was I struggling along with this decision when actually, like, this is not an individual problem. This is like a structural challenge. And then the other thing that happened is at the end, so after I'd already gave my notice, my employer was asked, like, what could we have done? Because I will say, not to toot my own horn, but like, I was a strong employee for the organization. And so they asked what we could have done. And at first I was like, I honestly have no idea. This job is crazy. It's so hard. Like there's nothing I could say. And then I was like, you know what? No, actually, like there's some tangible things that my employer could have done differently that would have bought us all some more time. And some of them I asked for. I might not have said like I need this in order to stay, but I did ask for them. And some of them were harder maybe to ask for and were something that employers would have needed help to change and implement. And so I share that story just to say, like, our brand is rooted in those personal experiences of my own story, of the stories of all the moms that came out of the woodwork when I gave my notice, and of all, you know, Andrea will share a little bit about hers in a second, our co-founders, and that. And so just to build on that, we thought that the first step for our brand was kind of to expand and amplify the story. And so we started by we launched a survey and put out a report of experiences of working moms. And that was sort of what grounded all of our business. And we tried to do that in a way that tied their experiences with a call to action for employers.
Would you like to add something, Andrea?
Yes. So I have been a mom, a working mom since my pretty much the beginning of my career. So I knew nothing, like my entire career involved having children. So all of my decision making in terms of like career growth, I had that lens of being a mom and what I could balance. But luckily, I had really good managers, really good employers that supported that lifestyle. A lot of them were working moms. I worked, my boss was a mother. And because of that, I had an idea of like what a healthy workplace looked like in terms of being able to experience career growth and also be there present for my kids as well. So that's kind of what drove me to supporting this vision of listen to your mothers. Because I know it's possible when you have what we call the trifecta of, you know, the supervisor, your manager, support from them, support from the company, the firm, the organization that you're part of, and also support from your team. You need those three things to really be able to have a successful workplace. So that's sort of what, you know, drove me to create this and what drives me every day, honestly. So as a manager now, that's what I look, you know, how can I support my team? What can I do regardless if they have children or if they have pets or if they just need a mental break? That's kind of what drives my every day as well.
That's such a thoughtful thing. And this is becoming the need of the hour. More managers and more teams looking inwards and trying to support their teams and making sure that everyone is on a healthy spectrum and nobody has to sacrifice a personal aspect of their life to continue working, because work is just a part of our life, as is the other parts of our life. It's not something completely which takes over our body and mind and controls us. It's
Yeah.
not a driving factor, it's just a factor. But
Can I
yeah.
add one other thing just on the like to Andrew's point about being a manager? So everybody on the team has been managers. And I think like, you know, we talk a lot about our personal story as moms, but I think that is a really important point to like hone in on is one of the things that made my job so hard when I was in that leadership role was the turnover. And be staying up at night thinking about how I was going to fill positions. And so like we see those two things as deeply connected, right? Like if that wasn't true, it would have been more sustainable for everybody. And so a lot of what we do, like back to the original question of like what is at the heart of this? Like what are the pain points for employers? What's keeping them up at night? That this problem, like it coming with a solution to this problem of turnover and attracting strong talent, is like this is at the heart of it.
That is true. And thank you for starting this organization and shedding some light on this crucial aspect of our lives, because this is, like I said, it is the need of the hour. More people need to be thinking about this and inculcating this into their organizations as well. Yeah, as founders, how hands-on you have stayed with marketing, and which parts of marketing functions do you believe founders should never fully step away from?
I'll take that. I think I wrote down one note for this, and it's in our name. It's listening. That's the most important thing, regardless of if you're marketing, you know, for a nonprofit, for finance, for sneakers. It's listening to your audience, listening to what Miriam just said, the pain points that they're dealing with, and they evolve, right? They evolve over time, different situations, like the pain points that employers were facing during COVID are definitely different nowadays. So it's really just listening and trying to understand, how to help. And it seems easier than it sounds. And it really just is listening, trying to understand how products or services you have and how to match that to resolving their challenges. So that's, I think, as long as you stick with that, and let that drive everything that you do from a marketing standpoint, then you'll be a successful business. So that's kind of what we're doing, and it's evolving. We're still trying to build our brand and learning how to make it sound less nonprofit, because that's something that we face constantly, is that people think that we're a nonprofit and we're not. It's really just listening to the audience and understanding, how to take their feedback and use it in a way to build a brand, without losing yourself too, because you don't want to lose, what your original purpose is, because it's, we can completely strip away our brand, which we have thought about before. But at the end of the day, it's really what how people perceive you. If they were, if we were to remove our name, what would be left behind that?
And I think to that point, like one thing that we have been very clear on from the beginning is as much as the world changes, as much as the needs of our customers change, like we've been really intentional about how we build the values of our company. And so we have some very explicit values which we've continued to workshop, but have really like stayed the same in their essence. And so no matter what we do to shift in terms of like our customer messaging, we make sure that the values of our organization stay front and center.
Could you give us an example of one of the values that sit at the core of your business?
Yeah, I mean, we have five, so I can read them. So the first one is, won't be surprising because it's kind of how we started this conversation, is amplifying stories for change, and continuing to just raise the message of what we're hearing from folks and also translate it into something that people can make actionable. The next one is engagement at all levels. So we don't think it's enough to just talk to the CEO about what's going on with them, but really understanding what's happening everywhere, to be able to make change that's like long lasting and implementable. Sustainable transformation. So kind of, the classic like consultant coming in and or like image of a consultant coming, providing report and leaving. Like that's kind of what we really try to push against that and make sure that what we're recommending is actionable and that we're there through the implementation of it. Challenging the status quo so that we're not just like providing the easy recommendations. We're realistic, but we're also trying to push the envelope and say, if you really want to be different, go against the grain and really do what's right by your employees, like you're gonna have to make some changes. And we like to push our clients in that way. And then shared success. So really recognizing kind of back to the beginning when we said what's good for moms is good for business, recognizing that when moms thrive, all employees thrive and business thrives as well is kind of like another core.
That those are actually well thought out values that I feel if every organization, every business starts to inculcate, it would make a lot of difference to all their employees. And not just mothers, I feel also supportive partners who are looking for somewhere outward support so that they can function on a bare minimum level, so that they can also provide support to their partners and not
Totally.
just themselves. So,
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. No, that's actually, I think that's an amazing point. And I think that's like a whole other level of the shared success piece, right? It's like moms can only thrive if everybody else is thriving too and has the conditions. Like we talk a lot about what the role of partners is and, even like the conditions that need to be in place in order for partners to feel comfortable taking parental leave, which is like critical for everybody to be able to show up and for kind of an equitable workforce. But that can be challenging sometimes. So recognizing that is important.
I feel Massachusetts is one of the few states which provide parental leave to the supportive partner too.
Yeah, it's interesting
Great.
though. Yes, not just birthing parents are eligible for parental leave, and if you look at the numbers of who actually takes parental leave, moms still take parental leave far more often and for far more time than fathers or other non-birthing partners. And so I think that's something to really dig into is like, and we've talked, as Andrea said, like the listening. We've talked to a lot of fathers who say, I actually want to participate in this program. Like, I recognize the importance of it, but I'm kind of encouraged internally from my organization to, let the wife do it, or, like those old school ways of thinking are still very deeply ingrained in companies, and so we need to shift that culture and really challenge it.
All the more reason for your brand and business to succeed and grow. Because this is a organization which birthed out of a need of the hour, how overlapping your life has been in the business, in your careers, and then starting and having this brand, like how much overlap do you see on an everyday basis?
Well, I mean, I said this earlier, but I manage a team of 10, 11 people now. all walks of life, right? Some are, single, some are married, some have children, some have pets. Everybody has their own situations, their own challenges, and they're also all remote. So I have, my full-time job. In addition to listen to your mothers, I have to be, learn how to balance being a manager and helping to run the business, but also making sure my employees feel heard and listened and have the room to have, a safe space in being able to reach out and say, hey, I need, to take a day off. So, there's definitely overlap that I see from my end and having to be a manager, be there for my team, but also put my foot down when need be, and do it in a way that everyone can compromise. And so obviously we can't have people taking every single day off, but things happen, people get sick. There's always something that as a manager you have to kind of adapt and react to. So I try to use that in what I do for Listen to Your Mothers, and really just trying to understand, empathize with the business leaders that we are targeting, and understanding that yes, that at the end of the day they have to have positive results, but they can't have positive results if they don't have a satisfied team who's motivated to be there. So it's a fine balance, and that's it. It definitely is. There's definitely overlap in what I do for sure.
And then on the listen to your mother's side, we were when we started, we were meeting after bedtime on Tuesday nights, remember? And it
Yes.
was like everybody would be texting, like, okay, I think my kids are good, they're down. And then like we would start meeting and somebody would be like, hey, get back in bed. And like, so it's like constant overlap and especially and like a lot of challenges sometimes with balancing because when you're starting a business, it's a lot of work and you really have to like grind and focus. And also we are trying to found this business that is has values of what moms need at front and center. So like trying to the startup world isn't always built for that. And so like we need to kind of figure out how do we define what that world looks like for ourselves, keeping again the values at the center. And then just like one quick, very literal example is so we have retreats and usually we do a lot of our work remotely in off hours, as I mentioned, but we do have try to have in-person retreats at least twice a year. And at one of the retreats, we were working on designing our t-shirt. And one of Andrea's daughters, Kate, was at the retreat with us, and I feel like she participated in the icebreaker. She participated, and she was the one who really like helped us figure out our colors for the t-shirts that we were designing. So I think like I think that's just a good example of how like to like we should acknowledge and bring in the other aspects of our lives into our business, and it actually can really provide a benefit to the business as well. And it's not always just like, oh, somebody brought their kid to the meeting and like this is hard. No, let's figure out how to like incorporate them and make them feel like part of it. And I would say like across the board, all of our kids know about Listen to Your Mothers and like pop on the Zoom calls and get excited about it. So
That's so lovely. That's so cute. And yeah, it actually adds when you have a potential customer type of figure who's having a third person opinion on your brand, you get more insights about what to inculcate, what to add on, what to subtract. It's wonderful. It's great, actually. And if it is coming from within the family, then it's better because who are better supporters for us than our family?
And like the middle schoolers who really know what's up. So like Andrew's daughter, she what did she? I think she was like, you guys definitely need water bottle stickers. That's what's in. You need them.
I ask this question at every conversation that I have. How many tabs are open in your browser right now? And for you guys, I feel it's like mental tabs along with the website tabs because it's so much overlap and so much is happening, and you're managing teams, you're managing a brand, and then you're managing your family and your own personal life, and everything needs to be done sometimes all at once, and it's just like overwhelming. But I would still ask, how many tabs are open, like randomly?
I was like, I hope she doesn't actually ask that question.
Well, I definitely have like two windows with multiple tabs, and think I have a MacBook, so if so far so good, it's not crashing. And then I have my work computer, which also has a bunch of tabs, but we won't go there.
How about you, Miriam? Would you like to answer?
I would say like 20 tabs open on my screen. And then, yeah, like you said, the brain, especially during the holidays, like with the kids at home, it's like, yeah, I don't think I can put a number on how many mental tabs there are.
Another question that I had was, looking back, what marketing channels or tactics have delivered the strongest impact for your growth? And were like there any strategies you expected to work that didn't?
I think for us, there's a lot of these conversations happening on LinkedIn where we get tagged constantly. We have some really great fans out there that tag us when there's a conversation that involves working mothers. And usually when we engage, that's when we see like an uptick in followers on specifically on LinkedIn. Or when we engage with others, partnering with others. So we've done like webinars with other organizations. That seems to drive the most engagement. So we're trying to obviously get our brand out there. And then, we have an email database, but it's small. So we're trying to build that as well so that we can continue to engage and with our content. So content strategy, blogs, social posts, that's kind of what we're starting with. But we have some other things. We've been talking about doing a live event, especially as Miriam mentioned earlier, when we're together during our retreats, it's like the perfect time. We're all together. It's been a while for some of us that we haven't seen each other. So it's nice to like get us all in the same room. We all have the same amount of energy. So there's some things like we're still early stage. We're still trying to figure out what works, what doesn't work. But I think that's going to evolve. Miriam mentioned the report that we did in 2023 that got a lot of engagement originally because it was there weren't that many reports out there that kind of gave the perspective of working mothers. So now there's tons, which is great, which we love seeing as much in that space because it just means more people are talking about it and hopefully employers are, turning their heads, which they are. And so it definitely varies, but I think for now it's like LinkedIn seems to be our core area. Instagram too, but that's a little bit more on the working mom side of things, like the actual mom rather than the business leaders that we're trying to target. But I don't know, Miriam, if you have anything else that you want to add.
Yeah, I mean, I think the report is what got us our initial, like that was where we really started and got us our initial interest. One thing that's interesting that happens to me a lot is like there's a lot more people who know about what we're doing than engage with it, and so I think that's like a challenge that we're trying to figure out. Like wherever I go, people are like, "I see what you're doing on LinkedIn," and I'm like, "I didn't even like I haven't talked to you in 10 years. I literally had no idea that we were even connected on LinkedIn," and they're like following our stuff but not engaging with it. So I think that's an interesting piece of it. We have gotten some traction on like when the report initially was released, we were featured on the local like WUR radio station, so that was very exciting. And people heard that. So I think it's like sometimes the channels that you're not expecting, you're like, who's going to be tuning into this? Like they people actually are paying attention, but trying to figure out how to capture that. And then also just like partnering with other people. I think like Andrea said, there are so many people out there like providing different voices and unique perspectives. So like we're trying to figure out, and I think in some places have been successful in like who has a complementary brand to us. So maybe not saying the exact same thing, but where we can work together and increase the reach of what we're trying to say. Oh, and then I think blog posts, we've have written some solid blog posts that we like go back to a lot and that people seem to be responding to well.
Going back to the calculator that you guys did.
Yeah, the momentum calculator.
Yes, momentum
Momentum.
calculator. Yes.
Yeah, so you know, the last few the since we started, we've been sort of like collecting data points on like what are the indicators that really kind of show an employer where they are in terms of being competitive for attracting talent, retaining talent, and then mitigating risk. And we have a tool that we use with our clients, which is like this really, it's probably, I think it's like 100 indicators, that is looking and doing a really comprehensive review of all of their policies, practices, employee engagement data. And we've been trying, we've known for basically since the beginning that we wanted to be able to distill that down into something that was like tangible and just a quick look for employers on like, okay, like what is the need here and like what would we actually go to listen to your mothers for? And so that is what the momentum calculator is. It's like 10 questions, maybe 12, but it takes like 5 minutes to answer. And it is just kind of the big questions that we think are important to start with to ask to kind of answer the different areas that we think are important to mention. So when you take the calculator and then you can see how you're doing in terms of compliance and risk exposure, where your opportunity costs might be, and then wait how competitive you are within the landscape to attracting talent. And then we are able to use that, look at it, and then have a call to kind of think about how we can support. We also have used that as an opportunity to provide. We have a lot of free resources and tools that we want to make sure are available to people. So we provide those in the results as well. So folks can say, ooh, I didn't realize that like I was missing out on benefit cutting edge benefits. Like, let me go to this resource and see where I can learn more about them.
When you were building that, I'm sure that community must have been like your first forethought that you were thinking about. Like, whoever uses this momentum calculator, how much support it's gonna lend to the person who's gonna use it. When we are talking about community, how central it is to listen to your mothers.
Well, it's interesting because this is definitely geared towards potential customers, so the employer. And the calculator it took a lot of forms, and this kind of goes into the next piece. I think to get to the three areas that we calculate, risk exposure, talent attraction, and opportunity cost and competitiveness, like that has taken a lot of time to understand, like, again, what are the pain points for employers and how do we kind of speak their language in terms of what they might be looking for. The other thing that would be like hard not to acknowledge is just like when we started Listen to Your Mothers, the labor market was completely different, right? So like employees had the complete upper hand, their labor shortages in many industries. And so we were really focusing on saying like losing your top employees is going to be a problem. And like it's really hard to find new employees and attract talent. So you need to be competitive in that space. And it's totally shifted in the last 3 years because of the state of the economy, the state of the federal government. Like, and so we have to acknowledge that reality and recognize that like right now, employers are getting hundreds, thousands of applications for sometimes for jobs that they had struggled to recruit for 3 years ago. And so what are the things that are mo of most importance to them? And I think it's still like retaining their really high quality talent because nobody wants to lose good people, even in employer-centered market, and also mitigating risk exposure and making sure that they're, you know, like to compliance with their current policies, their handbooks, their vetting of their policies and things like that. And so that's kind of like where we've evolved in that place. I don't know if that really, I don't think that really answered your question, but that's
It
where.
did. Like you said, it was like a gradual shift from an employee focus to now where an employer gets like thousands of people for one job. And now they have a sample pool to select the one best out of it. And so, yeah, the calculator must have like changed a lot. And in terms of creating awareness for the employers as well as the employees, so they can recommend suggestions to their organization of what changes can be brought into so that the employers also retain the best talent and the employees also get some level playing field where they can leverage themselves at the best.
Yeah, for sure. And one thing we talk about a lot too is that, like, you know, employers, industries are not a monolith. Like, the solutions look different depending on the industry. And so the challenge for us is, like, how do we make something that's general enough that everybody can use it and can relate to, but that it's not going to be like speaking for an industry that has a completely different need than another one. And so that's where our general versus like the specifics and what we actually end up working with the client, that's where the two tools really vary. But the other thing to say is we have done a lot of thinking about who our target market is, and just by the nature of like who we are, like a lot of our experience is in nonprofits and education, and so we focus on those industries in our personal networks in those industries to grow our businesses. And that has been really interesting because for them, like, they're seeing some of the similar trends in terms of attracting and retaining talent, but they're also constantly had said, we're talking about this before and I'm talking about it even more now that the economy is what it is. A lot of times they can't compete on pay. They're never going to be able to offer what the private sector is offering. And the other thing that we want our calculator to be able to do is to show them, like, what are the opportunity costs that are not about paying your employees more? What are the things that you could do that are pretty like low cost that are actually going to bring you a lot of good results for talent? And so that's where the opportunity cost calculation came in.
Going to add that you know, there's been recent news about the drop in mothers participating in the workforce, but regardless of that, the you know, mothers do make up a chunk of the workforce. So we have like two communities, I guess you could say. We have, you know, the business leaders, decision makers that we're targeting, but then we also have the working mothers themselves because they're the ones who are the front lines, right? They're the ones dealing with working for employers and trying to balance work life. We turn to them constantly because they're the ones telling us what's working for them, what's not working for them. And they're easier to access, honestly, than the business leaders because they're the ones who are heads down managing the workforce. I just wanted to add that we
Yeah.
do have two communities.
Right. And sometimes they're the same. Like moms are also business leaders. So I think that's like we, and this is just to be transparent about one thing we've struggled with. Like our, and part of it is our name, right? Like listen to your mothers. I think naturally, like people think that moms are who we're speaking to. And so sometimes it feels like we're speaking to the choir. And pulling in folks who are not moms but are in our target like market for is something that we struggle with. And so I think one thing that we're trying to do more as we go forward is think about like how do we really tap into the fact that we have built this really strong mom community and use that community as champions for our work. And so identify like which who are the moms who are leaders within an organization who can really like help. We don't have to convince them of what we're trying to do and why it's important. They can kind of like bring us in and we can work together to build buy-in for what we're trying to do across an organization. And so I think that's like a key piece of our strategy that we want to move forward on is not stop like stop denying the fact that like we speak to moms because it's just like it's gonna continue to be true, but how do we use that to really build a broader effort?
On that front, what's one marketing or growth decision that you'd approach differently if you were starting today? And what did experience teach you as a founder?
So we kind of touched on this before, but it's definitely, like I said, for the longest time, and I'm sure still today, people thought that we were a nonprofit. So they approached us differently. They didn't think of us as a tool or a resource that they could use to help their business. So that was mostly because of our messaging, again, focusing on preaching to the choir, like Miriam mentioned, focusing on helping moms. And not so much like with the to the business leader, what's in it for me as a business leader or for my business. So that's something that we've definitely pivoted to be more business oriented, to sound more like a consulting partner rather than, we're here to advocate for your working moms, which we are, but it's more along the lines of we're here to make sure that your business can run smoothly without losing people, without dealing with conflicts on the team. So that's one thing that I think really stands out to us is like making us sound like we're an actual resource. And also, of course, helping, the employees as well so that they don't have to sacrifice career growth, but also can participate in decision making as well.
Yeah, and I think like I'll speak for myself because I don't think everybody was as surprised by this, but when we did our first report, the results were not surprising, but I think they were pretty like jarring in a way. Like we found 1 in 4 moms changed careers in some way after having kids, and 88% of them said that flexibility would have like made them stay longer. Naively, like I thought that that stat would like be the thing that could move people and want to like do something different. And I think what we're learning is like, yeah, that's an interesting stat, but it's not the thing that's going to always move employers to like want to prioritize this as the change, because they are like having, constant pressures to think about how are they like improving their bottom line and how are they improving their workforce. And so they're really thinking about like how they need us to help make the connection between how does that translate then into like impacting their workforce positively or negatively, and how can we help solve that problem?
And I would say, I just want to add to that is, employers, I mean, there's examples out there right now. The return to office, for example, now multiple employers are mandating return to office if they haven't already. That I said this earlier, but a lot of mothers are leaving the workforce because of that, because they can't pay for more daycare. There's no one, daycare's too expensive. Or there aren't enough spots in the daycare for them to be able to help. So there's
They don't
that.
want to miss out on their kids' bedtime because they're commuting back and forth and
Exactly. And
putting
that's
in
the
their
other thing.
all.
The commuting is, that's the other thing. And then the other thing is AI, right? So AI, that's the big topic right now. How can AI make my workforce more efficient? Now we don't have to hire as many people. We can lay off all these people because we can replace a lot of the things with AI. That's the fear that a lot of employees have, and that's something as managers, we have to address in a way that is, again, has the business in mind, but also how do we keep the team morale, in a positive light despite the many changes in technology.
And again, like, how do we turn what we're trying to do into a solution to those challenges? So, like,
Exactly.
Hannah, if you don't mind, like, since we have a platform and we're talking about AI for a second, I love to just make one point about that, like, the connection piece that I've been thinking about a lot. So, like, AI is coming in, or it's here. We already know that. When I've been to multiple panels of like HR leaders in business talking about the impact of AI on talent. And a lot of them say, like, well, we don't need, it's not taking away jobs, it's just shifting what we need from workers, right? And so it's shifting from the need for entry level folks who are doing entry level work to more strategic critical thinkers. And so how do you get strategic critical thinkers? You have to first like put in the entry level work in order to get there. We all know that, right? And so I think when we connected back to listen to your mothers and we look at who's leaving the workforce from the mother's standpoint, a lot of the moms who are leaving are in that mid-career. They've already gotten the entry-level experience. They are leaders in the workforce and they're leaving. And that is the exact workforce that people are going to be needing more and more because all we are going to get to a critical point where we've eliminated a lot of entry-level jobs. People haven't gotten the training they need to get that critical thinking and strategic role. And now we're also taking moms out of the workforce in their mid-career when they have those skills. And there's going to be a huge gap. So I think like that's kind of we want to be able to emphasize like, yes, you're talking about kind of these real-time current problems that are impacting your workforce, but let's think 10 years from now and make sure that you're not going to be like going back into trying to go back in time and wish that you had done things differently then to retain workers who can really like fill that gap.
I think this is one of the gaps that Listen to Your Mothers definitely fills up, because you're right. We just don't have to think about, like, right now what's suiting our organization the best. You also have to think about 10 years down the road when you are in a position where you need leaders who are gonna lead you forward and not just gonna simplify your work. It's not always about simplifying work. It's also about building on top of what you have already built, the foundation that you have laid. You have to now construct a whole thing. And that needs strategic leaders. And like you said, if you remove all the entry level where they gain the experience to become critical thinkers, to become strategic thinkers, you're removing the block that you're going to need in the future.
Right. And I think we'd be remiss if we didn't mention like as we've been doing this work, we've met a lot of folks who have been doing this work in different ways for many, many years. You know, like and I just talked to somebody yesterday who she I think she's in her 60s, and she was like, I worked for an organization who helped with supporting women leaders back in the 80s. And when I had younger kids, I was advocating. And so I think it is really important, and we try to do this is like recognize, as you said, like we need to build on what has come before and evolve it in a way that like speaks to our times, right? So we do a lot of that is kind of like learning what folks have learned in the past, build on it, and then think about how it connects to our futures.
That's true. When we are looking forward, as Listen to Your Mothers continues to evolve, how is your marketing strategy or just strategy in general changing? And what should founders be thinking about as their brand enters its next phase?
I think it's what Miriam said earlier. It's, staying true to your values. So we struggled a lot. We're still struggling a little bit with it, but with our branding and what we want to represent. We still want to stay true to Listen to Your Mothers, but we also want to be taken seriously as a, a consulting partner for organizations. So it's really just kind of figuring out what that's going to look like. We don't want to lose sight of who we are and dilute our brand. We've tried to test and how to change our brand in various ways, and some of it felt way too foreign, like we were com a completely different company. So it's kind of balancing that, like, how do we make sure that we can fit the mold of what organizations need while also building a new category, I guess you could say it like that, where we're really focusing on this workforce of working mothers, working parents, how to provide flexibility, but also making sure that businesses have what they need from a resource standpoint to be able to provide results. So it's really just, our strategy will continue to evolve, but we have to stay true to our values and be consistent throughout, no matter what we do.
Yeah. And in terms of like the message to founders, I think that like this is a good case study in terms of where like the external conditions that we started in and where we are now, and just like you can't get so tied to what you were doing in the beginning that you lose sight of the fact that like the world around you has completely changed and the conditions have changed. So I think that's like probably that will happen how I don't know how many more times in our life cycle, but something that's really important to pay attention to. And then like as we've had this conversation, I really do want to hone in on this, like how do we leverage and like embrace the community that we have built of moms and make and work on this like champions within organizations thing, because I think that will be really critical.
As this conversation comes to an end, do you have any message to our listeners or to founders or to moms or to anyone who's just listening in?
From a marketing standpoint, having worked in various industries, there's definitely some foundational parts of marketing that no matter what industry or product or service are true. So like the 4 Ps that you learn in business school, that's still true. It still resonates. We're seeing that firsthand in Listen to Your Mothers, where we were still trying to figure out the product, and we finally nailed it with our services and kind of made that the core of our messaging. But I would say, take that the foundational and experiment, try to see where you can push it, without, again, diluting your main brand messaging. So.
And then on the general sense, like, I mean, this is really hard. Like, I'll just say that. And so I think having the right team is critical. Like we have four people, it's very intentional. Everybody has extremely different work styles, which is like, something to adjust to. But we also have this like core trust and like shared values. And so when one person is feeling really discouraged, another person is lifting us up. And I think that has been like essential. I don't think any of us could have done it just individually, and we'll continue to tap into each other as we go.
Well, this has been a lovely conversation and an eye-opening conversation for sure. And I'm glad you were both our guest on the podcast today. We learned a lot from you both. And thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having
Thank
us.
you.
It's been great.